Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. I'm my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I am, of course, Way Mamo. What's up, Mac? What's going on?
Hey, I'm good. How's it going?
I'm good, man. Good to have you on the show, as always.
Hey, man. Good to be on, as usual.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you again for tuning in on today's show. We'll be recapping the Elimination Chamber that went down earlier today. We'll be also talking about, our thoughts about the Super Bowl that went by about a few weeks ago or so. And, we'll also give us our thoughts about the Knicks, the state of the Knicks right now. A hot stove and, basically everything else. If you'd like to call in and, share your thoughts on any of these topics and more, we'd love to hear from you. And that number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. 3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But, yeah, man, let's talk about the current state of the Knicks. The Knicks basically, they lost to the Celtics, after they won, the other game previously on Thursday to snap their 4-game losing streak, thanks to that call by the referee, a few games ago before the All-Star break, which put us on, you know, we lost it, that game that we shouldn't have lost in the first place. We redeemed ourselves on Thursday night, but then we fell to the Celtics. Final score of 116-102. Jalen Brunson, he scored, 34 points or so. Josh Hart had 16 points, but, you know, it wasn't enough. And the Celtics did what was expected of them to do. And they, whooped out behind at the Garden. But, the Knicks,
The Celtics are who we thought they are.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no surprise there. Celtics is the at the top of the league, you know. So, yeah, they came here and, you know, whoop our butts. So we got to just, you know, dust our stuff off and get ready for the next game. So, yeah.
Well, the good news about the Knicks is that they should have Anobi in the next few weeks, hopefully. And right now it's sounding optimistic that maybe Randall might even be back before the regular season ends. So, you know, and also Mitchell Robinson also might be back before the playoffs. So, you know, it looks like we're going to get healthy and we're going to get some of these guys back to give us some more offense, which right now the Knicks are lacking a bit. So, you know, hopefully we can get these guys back, because tonight we could have definitely used Anobi's defense on Jaylen Brown, and we could have definitely used the offense of Randall, and we could have used the inside defensive presence of Mitchell Robinson tonight. So all three of those guys, we need them back as soon as possible.
Yeah, absolutely, and I have good news. I can guarantee that our losing streak is going to be snapped, because Monday night we're going to be hosting the Detroit Pistons. So,
basketball.
Yeah, barring an upset and the Knicks playing, the way they've been playing prior to Randall and Brunson on this team years ago, there should be a W for sure.
Let's hope they play better in Detroit than they did tonight.
No, we're hosting Detroit.
Huh?
We are hosting Detroit.
No, I'm saying let's hope they play better against Detroit than they did tonight.
Mhm. Yeah, we're currently on a 4-game homestand, so we're gonna be facing the Pistons, which should be, you know, an easy win. But you know, this is sports. You gotta play the games. Anything is possible. But other than that, it was good to see Brunson finally get his All-Star recognition. You know, something that eluded him last year and throughout his career. You know, it's finally good to see that he, you know, got the respect and, you know, honor that he deserved. Turning the Knicks franchise around, along with Randall, who had his third ever All-Star selection as well, even though he wasn't able to play because of the injury. All in all, Knicks are moving in the right direction, even though, they did get a big loss, which, you know, unfortunately it was expected, but, you know, Knicks just all they gotta do is just regroup, you know. Yeah, the recent slide that they had before All Star break, you know, they were in second place, and then they dropped down to fourth place, and you know, Knicks just gotta try to find a way to stay afloat, you know, as you know all these injuries, you know, they try to come back, you know, as we approach the playoffs in a month or so, month or two.
So. I think Thibodeau should put Bogdanović in the starting lineup, you know, just to start off the games, give us some more offense. Right now he's coming off the bench, but right now I think he should be starting in front of what am I forgetting his name now?
You're trying to pressure Sochua?
No. The small forward. I'm forgetting. Why am I forgetting his name now? We got him last year. Why am I forgetting his name right now? We got him last year in the trade, late in the season. Josh Hart. He should start for Josh Hart.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give us offense, you know, to start the game off, you know? And then Josh Hart should come off the bench. Although I like Josh Hart's defense and his rebounding, but right now we need as much offense as we can, you know, as we can get right now.
Right. I mean, yeah, when we did the Bogdanović trade, you know, we thought he would have been starting. He should be starting right now. Especially with Randall and Anobi out, you know.
Yeah.
Guy like that, you know, he used to torture us in the past, you know, with his 3-point shooting, but now he's, you know, he's on our side, you know. So I mean, it would make perfect sense for him to be continue starting, especially with these guys out.
Yeah.
And another thing is, you know, Thibodeau, he has to like, he gotta be mindful of these minutes. Because, you know, we can't be having all these guys getting hurt.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
Playing all these minutes, having these guys, even in blowout games, we have the guys playing, you know, until like the final minute or two of the game, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta conserve these guys, man. Like, this isn't the playoffs. Like, you can't be running the people to the ground. He acting like it's game 7 of the NBA Finals every game.
Yeah, sure. You know, once we get these other guys back, you know, we're going to have some depth. We're going to have some, you know, Thibodeau's going to have a problem on his hand on who to play with so many guys, you know, rotating in and out of the lineup. So, you know, so that's why we need to get healthy and get some of these guys back. They'll add more depth to the rotation.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. No question about that. And, yeah, recently, you know, the Knicks, you know, it's like a whole new vibe and era, an aura with the Knicks now. Like, you know, the Knicks are, you know, they're back to the way they used to be in the 90s, you know. Recently, you know, Melo was you know, complimenting the Knicks, you know, comparing it to the 90s Knicks. Stephon Marbury, I saw him doing an interview with somebody else, and he, you know, he was calling Brunson the hefty lefty, you know. So, you know, it's good to see. And then you got, you know, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce, you know, giving praises to the Knicks, even Kevin Durant and LeBron James, you know, guys who could have sped up the process of the Knicks being on the rise, you know, and you know, left us for dead. Even they have to acknowledge us like we're Roman Reigns, you know. So, I mean, it's good to see the Knicks, you know, we're getting back. We got our respect back, you know. But, you know, we got to keep on climbing, and, you know, hopefully in the off season we can, you know, get improve the team. But right now, you know, we got our eyes all set on the playoffs. So we got to just try to stay healthy and try to make some noise. Because, yeah, man, we haven't had a title in over 50 years. So now's the time. We gotta at least try to get as deep into the playoffs as we can.
Right now, this would be, I mean, this year is the best year for the Knicks to make it to the NBA Finals because
uh-huh.
the Eastern Conference, there's not that many teams that you're scared of in the East,
uh-huh.
you know, other than the Celtics and maybe Milwaukee when they're consistent. And maybe the Sixers when they're healthy with Embiid. Other than that, I think the Knicks are more than capable of being any team in the Eastern Conference when they're healthy.
Yep.
Yeah, so right now, this year could be their best chance to make the NBA Finals.
That's true. And last time I checked, Jordan still retired, so we got an even better chance.
Yeah.
I just think he wants to come and play hockey or something, and then he tries to come back to NBA like 60 years old or something.
Yeah,
which I doubt that, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love what the Knicks are doing, man. They're playing defense. They're sharing the ball. You know, they just gotta get back to the full staff. You know, and let's see. Let's just keep this momentum going. But shifting gears, the Super Bowl went down almost 2 weeks ago or so, and the Kansas City Chiefs are you know, they successfully defended their title against the 49ers, and they had a classic game. What was the final score, like, probably 25-23? I can't remember the score. I'd have to. But
It was 25-22.
25-22, right?
Yeah.
And it and the Chiefs they scored in overtime, just before the time expired. You know, it was a classic game, and Patrick Mahomes, you know, he went MVP. And his third title, the negative thing about it was, the tragedy that happened at the parade. My thoughts and prayers go out to the victim's family. You know, the person who got killed. You know, at the parade, and all the people who were injured. Like, I mean, that is just messed up.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate.
You're trying to have fun, celebrate your team with, mostly, your fellow fans, and then this, always gotta be, bad apples to ruin what's going on, man. So that's messed up.
Yeah, very unfortunate that had to happen during a day to celebrate, the Chiefs' Super Bowl champ, their third Super Bowl championship in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of ruined the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, and Chiefs, before Patrick Mahomes, it took them like 50-plus years to win their first ever championship. And then he came around, now they're on four. Four championships and overall, and trying to go for the three-peat next year, but it's messed up. It's it tainted a great season for them, having this tragedy happen on a day of what should have been a celebration.
Yeah.
Shifting gears, Yeah, the let's talk about the Yankees. Your Yankees, they played their first spring training game. Scored like what, 22 points or so?
Scored 22 runs. It was 22-10 was the final.
Definitely points. I'm thinking
yeah,
basketball.
You said points. Yeah. 22 runs against
fault.
The Tigers.
obviously it's spring training, and you guys have this potent offense. You know, you got Soto.
Well, I mean, no, in this spring training, in this game, I mean, oh, there's only one starter that played. I think it was Volpe. So I don't think this game was meant to be taken. I don't think you should take it seriously.
Oh no! I'm not talking about I'm not talking about the spring training. I'm talking about the upcoming season. I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying the upcoming season, you guys have a potent offense. Yeah, I mean, yes, if you score 22 points, obviously, in this game, whoever played whoever's trying to make the club, you know, obviously they scored the points. But, I mean, I'm talking about the real season that's coming up. You guys have a potent offense. You know, you got Soto, you have, obviously Judge, Stanton, if he can bounce back. You know, Verdugo could, help out as well. You guys really have a potential to have a great team. You know, like three guys who won the home run derby, if I'm not mistaken. You got Judge, you got Soto, and I'm pretty sure Stanton was the one with the Marlins.
Yeah, I mean this team can be very good. You know, they can be very good if we can stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which hasn't been the case the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
So on paper, you know, we can have a very good offense. You know, and we also have to have some very good pitching to help out with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing rumors now that Yankees might be the top candidate for landing Blake Snell.
I think so.
I mean, although I'm not big on Snell, but hey, right now we need as much good pitching as we can get. So I think he can bolster our rotation and give us and be a solid third guy on the team. Maybe even a solid second guy behind Cole, depending on how he pitches. So we'll see. We'll see if Yankees do, in fact, land him. You know, but I right now I'm hearing he might. It's a huge possibility that he could go to the Yankees right now. Looks like.
Mm-hmm. If you had to choose between him or Montgomery, who would you want?
I mean. Montgomery, I mean, he's familiar with the Yankees system, and he pitched really good in that World Series.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind signing Montgomery. I was actually against trading Montgomery. I hated when they gave him away. I did not like that deal. If I had a choice, I'd probably go with Montgomery.
I agree. He's a former Yankee, and he has postseason success.
And he's younger.
Yeah, I totally agree with him. You know, he's more polished, even though he's more like suited or labeled as a third starter, whereas Snell is an ace / number two on a real good team. But the problem with Snell is he could strike out like 10, 12 batters. But then go wild. He can't like go past the sixth inning or so, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of reminds me of like AJ Burnett, you know, a bit. It's, you know, when he's on, he's on. But when he's off, you know, he can be a little shaky and wild, you know. But if the Yankees can, I mean, it's hard to call him a reclamation project because he just won the Cy Young Award, but. If he can harness his wildness, you know, kind of like Nolan Ryan after he left the Mets, you got something cooking there.
Yeah, Yeah, so we'll see.
But, yeah, I think he's going to come to you guys for sure.
We'll
the only
see.
Thing, the only thing Yankees have to do is worry about is, you know, staying healthy and trying to lock up Soto, you know. That's it. That's the only two things I would really worry about with the Yankees, you know. And you got Stroman, who's motivated, pitching for the team he grew up rooting for, you know. So I think, and then if Cole is healthy, you know, which he tends to be, you know, Yankees can snap their playoff drought, you know, and go deeper in the playoffs.
Yeah, you know, Yankees have been falling short, you know, for who knows how long now.
Yeah,
hopefully this year is different.
Yeah, they haven't won to the, what, ALCS since, what, 2017, 2018, something like that?
The ALCS?
Yeah.
No, they were in the ALCS like 2 years ago against the Astros, remember?
Oh, I mean, they haven't advanced, I should say.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then again,
well,
they haven't
been to the World
Series.
World Series
since 2009, right?
2009, yeah.
Right. But, yeah, but since that, yeah, they haven't, you know. So, yeah, you know, Yankees got to bounce back.
Yeah.
And shifting gears with a team in New York that really needs to bounce back is my New York Mets, man. Like, yeah, I think they got their butt kicked by the Cardinals earlier today. But, you know, obviously that's not really important. But what's really important is, unfortunately, Kodai Senga, he had arm fatigue and he's basically going to be out for most of the year. You know, I think he has surgery or they're going to rest him. He's going to try to come back several months from now, maybe halfway to the season. So, yeah, man, this is a huge blow. I mean, Kodai Senga was the only, like, surefire, you know, pitcher on the team. You know, he was their ace. You know, he was the rookie. He was, like, the runner-up for the Rookie of the Year last year. I think he had some votes for the Cy Young. But, you know, he lost in both awards. But, you know, he had a great rookie season. And with the trades of Scherzer and Verlander in the trading deadline last year, Senga was is definitely the ace of the team now. But now he's hurt, and now they're going to have to figure out who's gonna be the starter for opening day. Will it be Severino? Could be Manaea, you know.
Omar Manaea?
Not Omar Manaea, but Sean Manaea. The former A's and Giant pitcher. Could be Tyler McGill. Yeah, I mean,
I think it could be Severino. You know, Severino returns to his true form.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could become your guy's number one guy. I mean, this is a guy that's still capable of striking out tons of batters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he can still be a top guy. You know, just needs to stay healthy.
Absolutely. Yeah, he has the potential to be healthy, you know, to stay healthy, hopefully. And then you got Manaea, who
not Omar
Manaea. He's a good guy. So. Yeah, he you know, he had a bad start with the Giants. They put him in the bullpen, and then he developed a new pitch. Put him back in the starting rotation, and he started to pitch better towards the end. So hopefully the Manaea can, you know, regain his old form. especially from his Oakland days, and, you know, hopefully help the Mets bounce back. And then, of course, and then Mets have some, you know, some starters in the minor leagues, Vasso, Scott, Lucchese, who most likely is going to make the – well, Lucchese is a veteran, but, I mean, with the injury of Senga, he's expected to make the club. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. And then with the offensive side, the Mets, I mean, the Mets didn't really do much moves in this offseason, but the moves they did, I mean, they did to their credit, they have the potential to improve their defense and their bullpen. They signed your boy Bader. He's going to be the new center fielder. Nimmo's going to move to left. They're banking on Marte to bounce back and be healthy. And if that happens, then you're going to have a strong defensive outfield with Nimmo, Bader, and Marte. And then they're going to give the young guys a chance. Especially with Mauricio's hurt, torn ACL. They think Viento most likely is going to get most of the DH playing time. Maybe Beatty at third. And then they recently re-signed Voit to a minor league deal. Last year they signed him, but he never played with the Mets last year in the majors, even though he hit like 15 home runs in the Triple-A for the Mets. They re-signed him. They re-signed DJ Stewart. I'm trying to think who else did they sign. It escapes me. But in any case, the Mets are hoping that Jeff McNeil can have a bounce back here. And the biggest storyline of the Mets this year, other than them trying to bounce back and shock the world and make the playoffs and actually do a lot better than everybody expect them to, is the re-signing of Pete Alonso. And, recently the Mets owner, Steve Cohen, did an interview and basically admitted that, they hope to re-sign him, because, Pete Alonso is important for the Mets, this year and hopefully for the future. So, he hopes Pete Alonso hits 55 home run and makes it tougher for them to give him more money, having a great season and helping this team win. So, we shall see if the Mets will do that. So do you think the Mets will re-sign him, or do you think the Mets will trade him in the trade deadline, or will he just walk and sign with the Yankees, be their first baseman?
I don't think he'll re-sign with the Yankees. I think the Mets will re-sign him. I mean, they'll be crazy not to. So I think the Mets will re-sign him.
I sure hope so.
I mean, you guys supposedly have the money, so if you don't sign them, then it's not going to be very good for you guys. And fans will be really pissed.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if Uncle Stevie puts his mouth where his money is.
We shall see if he puts his money where his mouth is. In the game, the minor league game, it's a spring training game, I should say. Yeah, the Mets lost 10-5 to Cardinals. Their outfield prospect, Alex Ramirez, He had two hits and a stolen base. We shall see what the Mets will do in the future. You know, Gilbert is the minor leagues, and I'm trying to think of the other guy who might be make. I think Ryan Clifford is another guy as well that the Mets have. You know, as a result of the trade they did, Luis Angel Acuña, who they got in the Scherzer trade. You know, they have some potential prospects, and this year the Mets are really going to give, you know, a lot of them a shot, especially Beatty and Vientos, for sure, who are with the club as we speak right now. They're not gonna spend the money on any more free agents. So, they let Turner sign with the Blue. What was it? The Blue Jays, I think. I can't really remember. Probably was the Blue Jays. What's his name again? Soler, I think, signed with the Giants. And I think J.D. Martinez, as we speak, I think he's still a free agent. But the Mets, and even Tommy Pham, a guy who played, you know, great with the Mets until he got traded to the D-backs and continued to do well in the playoffs with the D-backs, helped them go to the World Series. He's still a free agent right now. So, yeah, man, the Mets, they gotta stay healthy, and with the exception of Senga getting hurt. So, yeah, man, we'll see what happens with the Mets. And shifting gears, the Rangers defeated the Flyers for their 10th straight victory. Matt Rempe scored his first career goal in the third period, which helped the Rangers cap their 10-game win streak. So, props to the Rangers. Lafreniere also scored as well. Props to the Rangers. Rangers are going to try to stretch their winning streak tomorrow when they visit Columbus tomorrow to stretch it to the 11-game winning streak. So, congrats to the Rangers.
You know, the Rangers, they're almost in the same position as the Knicks right now. Mm-hmm. You know?
It's like 94.
Yeah, it's like 94 all over again. This mm-hmm. year should be championship or bust. Stanley Cup finals or bust for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a good team right now. They've won 10 in a row, as you mentioned. And, you know, it looks like it could make some noise once the playoffs come. So this team has a shot of making the Stanley Cup finals.
They do. They have a good head coach who won a Stanley Cup recently, Peter Laviolette. He managed the he coached the Islanders several years ago, but now he's coaching the Blue Shirts, and hopefully the Rangers can stay healthy and do what they did in 94. Need I say more? But yeah, shifting gears, let's talk about the Elimination Chamber. Yeah, man, what's your thoughts on the pay-per-view?
On Elimination Chamber coming up?
No, Elimination Chamber happened.
I mean, the pay-per-view event that just happened. I thought it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been better. It could have been much better. But are you going to go through the results?
Yeah, I'm going through it right now.
Okay.
Let's do it. The Kabuki Warriors, they defeated Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell to retain the WWE Women's Tag Team Championship. Becky Lynch defeated Bianca Belair, Liv Morgan, Naomi, Raquel Rodriguez, and Tiffany Stratton in the Elimination Chamber match, the women's one. So now this is to earn an opportunity against Rhea Ripley's Women's World Championship match at WrestleMania 40.
Yep.
And what was I going to say?
As expected.
Yeah, we all expected that.
Yep.
The Judgment Day defended, basically, Finn Balor and Damian Priest. They retained the title against the New Catch Republic, which Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. So Judgment Day retains, and they are still the undisputed WWE Tag Team Champions. Drew McIntyre defeat Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens, LA Knight, Logan Paul, and Randy Orton so that he could be the number one contender to face Seth freaking Rollins for the title, the World Heavyweight title. So essentially Drew McIntyre is going to have his moment winning the title that he had that was kind of tainted because of the COVID situation. He didn't have any fans in the audience, but now he's going to try to do it as a heel, essentially. And then last but not least, you have Rhea Ripley. In a rarity in WWE, she successfully, not only did she win a match in her hometown, she successfully retained the title, the Women's World Championship, at home against Nia Jax. So, props to her, Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, props to her.
Continues. Oh, and also Cody Rhodes challenges The Rock to a match anytime, any place before his match against Roman Reigns. So it looks like it's going to be night one of WrestleMania, the main event of WrestleMania 40. Most likely, Rock's going to face him 1-on-1.
Maybe that should be interesting.
What you said?
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe even have a stipulation of number one contender, perhaps. Of course, Cody would win, and then face Roman Reigns, night two, and finish the story. That's definitely intriguing right there. And The Rock is gonna return this Friday night. So we don't have to wait long enough for his response. And speaking of The Rock last week, he officially turned heel and he joined the Bloodline. Cut an old school promo. His new heel version is like a combination of the corporate champion Rock and the Hollywood Hogan. The Hollywood Rock from 03. So it's very intriguing what he's doing right now.
What do you think of it?
What do I think of it? I think it's great that the Bloodline has two new members now. What do you think?
I think it's a good move. I think you might even have sort of kind of like when Rock was with Nation of Domination, when
it is,
it was there was a dispute about who's the leader,
mm-hmm.
who's the real leader of the Nation of Domination. Now I think you'll have that dispute within the Bloodline now,
exactly.
And maybe that can lead to a future match, Roman Reigns and The Rock.
That's exactly, you stole my thunder. That's exactly what's going to happen. Roman Reigns lose the title to Cody Rhodes, whether The Rock, you know, is tricking us and thinking, making us think he's a heel and he's secretly working with Cody Rhodes to help him lose the title.
Yeah.
And or he's legitimately heel and he's upset about what happened and he takes over. Either way, Roman Reigns is as the tribal chief is numbered.
Yeah.
For sure. And if you look at the promo he cut, you know, he was saying like we're assuming he's talking to Cody Rhodes, but he's pointing in the direction of Roman Reigns and saying he's gonna do you're a loser and I'm gonna do everything in my power to take the title away from you, or take your spot away from you, or something like that. So he said something like that, but when he said that, he was pointing in the direction of Roman Reigns and looking in his direction. So maybe it could be a, and for all we know, that could have been something he whispered in Cody Rhodes' ear that time when Cody Rhodes stepped down.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think they're trying to plant the seeds that this is a ruse, that he turned heel. And maybe he's secretly working with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, that's,
we shall
that's
see.
Interesting. Yeah.
I mean, look at Mike Tyson. Who knew Mike Tyson was secretly working with Stone Cold? WrestleMania 14, so who knows? It's possible.
Very true.
But what do you think about the Bloodline has two new members?
Rock, you said two new members?
Yeah.
Who's the other member?
Me. Yes, I have officially joined the Bloodline now.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm putting my finger up, even though you can't see me on TV. I'm putting my finger up right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm part of the Bloodline now.
Interesting.
So, yeah, man, I got to now. I have to now. You know, support the people's champ, you know?
Okay.
Even though they're going to lose, you know, Cody Rhodes is going to finish his story. But, you know, hey, that's my boy, so I got to, you know, I gotta go down with the ship.
By the way, you know the hilarious thing I found about this Elimination Chamber? What was the funny part about it?
Oh, what happened?
R-Truth flew to Austria instead of Australia. So he couldn't even help out New Catch Republic tonight.
Oh, man. That's funny.
R-Truth is a national treasure, man.
Oh, man. He's an international treasure.
International treasure.
Oh, man. Yo, this guy, man. He's funny. They should put the title on him, man. Like, to be honest with you, I understand Drew McIntyre wants, they want to give Drew McIntyre his moment that he already had a few years ago, but it was tainted because there was nobody there. But I think this should have been the moment that they put the title on Sami Zayn or maybe LA Knight. Or even, you know what I mean? Like, especially, I think definitely Sami Zayn for sure. I mean, the guy, the stuff that he did last year and this year, they should have rewarded him with that. Like,
yeah.
True. But instead, they buried his momentum. And yeah, man, there's no excuse that R-Truth never was a champion. The way how this guy entertained the fans, and you know, like they should have put the title on him at one point. But you know, it is what it is.
Well, he does hold the record for the most reigns as the 24/7
into
TV. European
7-Eleven,
7-Eleven of the champion.
I-95 champion. Yeah, man, but they should at least put the title on him for real, for once.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, we shall see, man. For real, Sami Zayn, man, they took away Sami Zayn should have been finishing this story, like. The story was built for him, like at least against Seth Rollins. Them making this whole Elimination Chamber match for his number one contender is like scrambling for people to face Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Should Seth Rollins held on to this title too long anyway? I think he should have dropped the title to, like, Nakamura during his feud. Especially when they were hinting on his back is, you know, Nakamura was injuring his back and all that stuff like that. Like, I think that would have been the perfect time for him to drop the title. But, you know.
Yeah, you're right.
But, yeah, we'll see what's going on in WWE. Now that the road to WrestleMania, now all roads are pointing to WrestleMania now. New Japan Wrestling, you know, congratulations to Dolph Ziggler, now known as Nick Namath, his real name. He won the IWGP. Let me see how you pronounce that title. It's a global heavyweight title. Let me see how it was. Make sure I get it right. The IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship. He defeated David Finlay at the pay-per-view, The New Beginning. What else was I going to say? And Matt Riddle, he defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi to claim the New Japan Pro Wrestling World Television Championship. So congratulations to, you know, these both
congrats.
Former WWE guys, you know, winning titles overseeing Japan, you know, and then AEW, Sting's gonna have his last match, teaming up with Darby Allin at the AEW Revolution pay-per-view event. I believe it's on March 3rd, if I'm not mistaken. It's going to be Sting, Sting and Darby Allin, who, you know, recently won the title Big Bill and Ricky Starks recently. They're going to put their title on the line against the Young Bucks. And the Young Bucks are now heels now. And apparently, the Young Bucks attacked Sting's real-life sons. But the problem is that Sting's sons look as big as Sting does. So for the Young Bucks who are like mad, puny-looking guys beating up both of those guys, even one of those guys can handle both of the Young Bucks. I mean, it didn't look very believable. But, you know, in any case, Sting cut this heartfelt promo that, you know, in his career, no one ever put their hands on his kids. So now it's personal, and that, you know, they're gonna have the fight of their lives. So Sting is not playing.
Wow.
Even though Sting, you know, is gonna lose this match because the title's gonna be on the line. You know, unless Sting goes out a champion, which would be nice. We shall see.
Yeah.
And congratulations to Soraya, formerly known as Paige. Her brother is now All Elite now. Joins her, you know, being All Elite now. Let me see. Hold on a second. What was I going to say? Trying to find his name quickly. Was it Zach, I think? I think his name is. Let me just make sure I get it right. I think it's Zach Knight, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just confirm that. Yeah, Zach Knight. So congratulations to her brother, Zach Knight, who's now officially All Elite. But let me see, is there anything else that I didn't cover? I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
I think, you covered, I think that was it. Can't think of anything else right now.
Yeah, I think I'm stumped right now. Let me see. On this, hold on a second. Well, then I guess I should preview this AEW pay-per-view event, since it's gonna be what next Saturday. So I guess I should give my predictions right now quickly. All right, so, yeah. So FDR is going to be facing the Blackpool Combat Club. Let's see. I'm going to pick the Blackpool Combat Club to win this match. Then you got Wardlow versus Powerhouse Hobbs versus Lance Archer versus somebody else in a Meat Madness match. Picking Wardlow. Wardlow recently cut a promo basically saying that he's not fighting for scraps anymore. He's going to try to, you know, fight for a championship, you know, for a change. So I think this is the start to get him on that championship mode, because I mean he's a former TNT champion, but now he's gonna, you know, set his sights solely on the AEW championship. You got Christian Cage versus Daniel Garcia for the AEW TNT championship. And I guess I could see Daniel Garcia win it. I suppose. I guess they could put the title on him finally. You got Will Ospreay versus Konosuke Takeshita. Picking Will Ospreay for that one. Then you got Eddie Kingston versus Bryan Danielson for the Continental Crown Championship. Kingston's looking to retain it. Basically, it's the AEW Continental Championship, ROH World Championship, and the New Japan Wrestling Strong Open World Championship. If Daniel loses, he has to shake Kingston's hand. Wow, what a stipulation. Oh my goodness. This is a stipulation?
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
So let me get this straight. If he loses, not only does he not get... he has to shake his hand, like... I would assume that would be the good sportsmanship. Like, when he not shake his hand.
That doesn't make no sense.
I understand they have a feud, but I mean, he has no choice but to shake his hands. I'm not gonna shake his hand. I don't care. You have to shake his hand. Well, what's it gonna be? They're gonna have him hug it out like Kane, him and Kane. Goodness. Then you got Timeless Toni Storm defending the AEW Women's World Championship versus Deonna Purrazzo. I'm picking Storm to retain it. Then you got a three-way triple threat match with Samoa Joe, the champion, versus Hangman Adam Page versus Swerve Strickland. I think Samoa is going to retain it. You know, I mean, who knows? Swerve could pull up an upset and finally be the first black, you know, champion, world champion in AEW history. But I think Samoa Joe is going to retain it.
Yeah.
You got Orange Cassidy, the AEW International Champion, versus Roderick Strong. I'm gonna pick Roderick Strong to win that title. Last but not least, you got Sting and Darby Allin, supposedly with Ric Flair at his side, versus the Young Bucks, who are no longer they're no longer going by their nicknames Matt and Nick. They're using their full names now, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson.
Okay.
So now they're heels. It's like they have like this Mr. McMahon kind of character that they're having right now.
Interesting.
They should have had this character and do this when CM Punk was there, you know, since they had their issues with CM Punk behind the scenes. It would have made a perfect sense for them to do it then. And apparently that wrestling commentator Dave Meltzer doesn't like the direction that they're going. So basically, he basically criticized them, and usually Dave Meltzer is their biggest supporter, to the point that they call their pile driver the Meltzer driver, if you can believe that or not. So now, apparently, they got beef with him because he was critical about them recently for like seemingly the first time ever. So now they changed the Meltzer driver to the Tony Khan driver, you know, which basically, you know, Tony Khan is the owner of AEW. So yeah, so I'm picking the Young Bucks to win the title because, you know, obviously this is Sting's last match, and it would be nice to see him go out as a champion. And then Ric Flair, they teasing that Ric Flair might betray Sting and go with the Young Bucks, which, I mean, that's totally Flair's MO to do. So I'm hoping I'm wrong. I hope Sting and Darby Allin can, you know, can win this match so Sting can go out as a champion. But I don't see that happening. What else was I gonna say about this? I think it was about Sting. I just can't remember. But in any case, you know, he had a phenomenal career, and yeah, I hope he goes out Oh yes, Kevin Nash revealed that Sting asked them to be part of his ceremony in person, you know, since they were cool and, you know, ever since their WCW days. But apparently Kevin Nash asked WWE for permission and they didn't give him permission, which he wasn't happy about. So WWE, you know, is rearing its ugly head, you know. Basically, if he left, he would have had beef with them. Like, come on, man. Like, put it aside. Like, he, you know, he has a legend contract. Let him support his friend. Like,
yeah.
All this drama. WWE got enough stuff to worry about.
For real.
But they got to take Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon out of the game. Like, do the fans have to suffer too? Like, I mean, come on. Like, how do you, I don't know what that's about, so it is what it is. Anything else you'd like to say before, you know, you head out?
Check out my show, iMac. Check out your local listings for that. We didn't have any episode tonight, but it will be airing later tonight. Actually, we didn't have an episode Saturday night. Right now, it's Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's Sunday, so we should have it later tonight. So check your local listings for that, and come back here, check the Sports Urban Legend every Saturdays at 11 p.m., only on Block Talk Radio.
Well, you heard it. You heard him. Check out his show, IMAC, every Saturday is at 10, but special night is tonight at 11 o'clock Sunday night, special night in time. Check it out, and of course, come back here next Saturday. Check out Sports Urban Legend. Every Saturday is at 11, only on Block Talk Radio. So he's Mo Colley Matthew. I'm Wayne Marmo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace. All right.